Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about entrepreneurs, professionals, technologists, policymakers, and people who are causing a lot of positive disruptions in the space that they're working in. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. This episode is about how people go and spend money and the way India's consumers are actually going out and spending money in physical retail destinations. This is also about how e-commerce and physical retail are actually growing and coexisting together in a seemingly competing space. I have with me someone who knows this space like the back of his palm, because he has been working in this area for more than 20 years and counting. I have with me Mr. Shriram P.M. Monga, co-founder and principal consultant at Shred Real Estate Advisory. Mr. Monga is widely recognized for shaping high-performing mall, India's commercial real estate, and advising a lot of brands, particularly in the retail space, along with F&B, of course, and mixed-use developments through data-driven leasing strategy and execution-focused strategy and advisory. Thank you so much, Mr. Monga. Delighted to have you here.
Thank you, Gaurav, for making me do this. I think it's always a pleasure to have somebody like you to be, having this candid conversation. I look forward to have this podcast with you.
Mr. Monga, let's start off with something which is very contextual now and topical now. There's always this ongoing debate between e-commerce and physical retail. There's been, 15 years ago when e-commerce came into India and really scaled up very, very rapidly, there was always this fear and speculation that physical retail is going to die down because everyone is going to shift to e-commerce. But that hasn't happened. We can see sprouting of malls all across India. And this has come at a time when people are also spending a lot of money. India's spending ability has gone up. What's your view about this? E-commerce and physical retail can coexist together at the same time and also grow rapidly. What's your view?
So, e-commerce and physical retail, there is no doubt that they can't coexist. Any family, your or mine, are subscribers to e-commerce or quick commerce on a regular basis. So there is a certain type of purchase which happens on e-commerce and which is repetitive. But when it comes to experiential purchases, when you need to touch and feel something which you want to buy, you want to try something, that experience cannot be replicated on an e-commerce platform. However, the consumption pattern on e-commerce is far greater because the repetition of the purchases which happen probably in the kitchen, or it happens on in things which does not need, they are very standard in nature. So, the customer is more driven towards the product, the brand, which he consumes on a regular basis.
Right.
But when it comes to physical retail, where there is experience, where a customer would go with some family member, a friend who would want his advice, he wants to be in a physical space, he wants to see a variety before he makes the purchase, and obviously that satisfaction of shopping is something which cannot be compared from an e-commerce point of view.
Absolutely. Clearly there's a space for both to grow. And physical retail, of course, is about touch and feel. Physical retail is also about destinations. Physical retail is, of course, about visiting a place to buy a certain good. Whereas in the case of e-commerce, it might be through the click of a button, on your desktop or on your mobile phone or on your device, but the both of them are fulfilling different needs, although they seem to be operating in a competing space. But my next question is a little bit about more about e-commerce, particularly in the space of quick commerce. There has been an ongoing debate now that quick commerce is bad because it is exploitative, et cetera, et cetera. Now, quick commerce seems to be the next frontier of e-commerce, and they are also, they are also in many ways competing with physical retail destination space. What's your view on this, on quick commerce?
So interestingly, quick commerce and e-commerce both are becoming marketplaces.
Right.
When you see retail brands which, flourished in high streets or malls, they were a part of a marketplace. And what I foresee is there would be a range of brands which would be developed in the quick commerce and e-commerce market spaces, where those brands would have their relevance in those ecosystems. And once those brands are available in only those ecosystems, that becomes a bigger market.
Right.
For anybody to come and look at purchasing. So there would be relevance of brands which would be coming on the quick commerce, e-commerce platforms, and those brands would be more or less available there. Their ecosystem and the way of consumer behavior to purchase those or subscribe to those brands would be very, very different. So that's like the future of what e-commerce and quick commerce are going to do. The biggest aspect of e-commerce and quick commerce is convenience, where somebody needed to go to a physical shop to buy something which he's repeatedly buying or consuming, and now it is at fingertips and it reaches at lightning speed. So that type of convenience cannot be replicated in a retail physical store platform.
Right.
And for it saves time, it saves energy, it's quite addicted, and I see, this is a revolution where, printouts are also coming out on e-commerce, on quick commerce platforms.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, from anything which you can, which you need on a, you need speed and action coming together, I think that particular product is where quick commerce would, take the subscriber level to a different level.
You know, Mr. Manga, you have spent more than two decades and you have a ringside view, you have a front row seat of what's happening in the Indian retail space because, you have been involved in many ways shaping the India's retail landscape across malls, food courts, mixed-use developments and also transit hub. What are the new trends that you are seeing as we head into 2026, particularly in India's retail space, both from a consumer point of view as well as from a developer's point of view?
So Indian consumer is looking for experiences now.
Right.
They are not looking at discounts. They're not looking at very deeply on things which are probably is more brick and mortar. They are looking at things which are where they feel good about, because retail environments and they are more like social community areas now. It is not only relevant to buying and purchasing when you go to a mall. You probably go to spend time there. You would like to have a coffee there. You would like to meet friends there. So predominantly the aspect of a retail environment is transforming into a social environment where retail is creating that ecosystem of variety of products. But the experience from a customer point of view, a consumer point of view, would be to experience how his time is well spent there. So from an evolution point of view, we went from a consumer who's targeting only retail aspects when he was stepping into a mall. Now he's looking at food, he's looking at entertainment, he's looking at how he spends time with his family, he's looking at convenience. When all these things come together, the experience is more than a regular a regular meeting or going out situation. So from that respect, I think the whole consumer is evolving. And from a mall developer's aspect, the type of detailing which is happening towards design and customer experience now, which was never there before. You know, earlier it was when, you know, we used to work on malls, we used to look at, you know, these are number of vanilla stores, these are the anchors, this is where most of the things would be placed, and it is like a copy paste which used to happen all the time,
right?
A developer saw in a city where he felt that can be replicated, they were just told the architect to just look at this and just put it there.
So, but
now it's more from a consumer micro market and a macro market centric design and planning,
right?
That who's going to come, which is the customer is going to come every day or repetitively, and which is the customer who's going to come on the weekends, which would be the customer who's going to come on a festival, and when there's a big movie which is launched, what type of people would come. And when these ecosystems come together, which are around a shopping center, which probably has residences, which may have offices, which may have schools, which may have colleges, which may have a hospital, all of this drives a different type of traffic, a different type of consumer in the mall. So
absolutely,
when a mall gets designed, the brief of the architect is now experience.
Absolutely.
And if the experience is good, the footfalls will always.
So as we are in 2026 now, and as we move along, you know, what according to you will truly differentiate a successful mall or retail destination? Is it the experience, or is it the food and entertainment? Is it brand curation, or is it deep consumer understanding, or is all of this put together? Because then it becomes a little quite more complex, isn't it?
It isn't so complex, because retail and social environments are revolving around people's life. So, you know, what people are subscribing to at this point of time is something which is more relevant in their lives. They would try to find those experiences outside their homes. So when you look at the aspects, every category inside the mall is having its own relevance. Whether it's food, whether it's retail, whether it's entertainment, whether it's any type of amenities which the mall provides. So post-COVID, there has been a little reset in terms of how the shopping centers were positioned before and now. So there has been a change in customer pattern. Like you said in the beginning, quick commerce, e-commerce is also taking a large part of the pocket. The money which probably was spent in a mall, probably it's going on online. So eventually the customer is evolving, but he has its limitations in terms of spend. So from a perspective of categorization, brands are equally important. The design is equally important. The offering is equally important. It is work to just increase the dwell time of a consumer inside a mall. So once the dwell time increases, obviously the spend increases. And the spend increases, the income and the profits of developers and retailers both are, you know, connected with each other.
You know, you have been deeply involved in food courts and experiential retail, and you have a fair understanding and deep insights in that space. How critical is food, social, and community spaces in determining and driving footfalls in malls and retail destinations?
So I think it's, you know, these type of questions coming out of you is, you know, making me more fascinated that how consumer looks like, from a consumer point of view, you know, how fascinated he is to know more about things. But I feel from a social environment point of view, it is quite critical to put things in perspective from a consumer oriented approach. food perspectively is something which brings back the audience again and again. It's an interesting fact that people in the for food, they come to the mall often than they come for movies.
Right.
So from a movie's perspective, they will come once there's something nice they heard about. It's not that, you know, pre-COVID, any movies released, people will on the weekend will go and have a look at it. But it's not the same anymore because or obviously OTT has taken a large time of our moving, watching or entertainment at home also. So, I mean, people are now hooked to different type of content, which can be seen on a small screen and also on a large screen. So from that perspective, somewhere I feel food has taken over a lot of aspects of a consumer coming again and again to the mall. And if the variety and the curation of that particular aspect is carefully done, it is a massive footfall driver.
Absolutely. You know, tell me something for the benefit of our viewers and listeners and also for my own understanding. What is it that you are solving for developers?
So, you know, what happens is that, you know, there are two types of indications when we get look at a project. When we started SRED, it was the wins were to, you know, kind of fill up the spaces, fill up the large boxes, fill up the anchor spaces. And those were things which everybody was kind of, you know, wanting from us. But what now, as we see in 2026, almost 20 years from, more than 20 years of, you know, putting things together, there is a different change when it brings to a developer, because developer's thought process and a consumer point of view about a developer is by the social spaces which they create. They also want to be in the social life of any consumer who is part of that catchment,
right,
where his development is. It helps to build the confidence on its brand to motivate that consumer to flow into their developments, whether it's residential, commercial, office space, any type of thing, which brings that type of experience in the mind of the consumer that effectively, if the developer has delivered a good social shopping environment, he would have the same quality of experience in the other projects which they do. So this is like the interface for any developer to look at from a real estate point of view also. So I know when it comes to some big names, we don't think twice. You know, we have some check boxes in our mind which are already checked against them, because you know that the quality of development which they do and the management of the service which they do would not have any consumer regrets. So from a developer point of view, it is very important to, you know, do a quality A grade operations, certain level of programming in the centers that, you know, engages customer from all levels, not only from a retail level, but from different levels of attachment to that particular brand.
And what are the kind of, briefly a couple of examples on the marquee retail and food led destinations that you have worked in?
So the recent one was the Unity One Elegante Mall in Netaji Subhash Place in Delhi, where the food court experience has been taken up to different level, whether it's the customer convenience, customer comfort, the type of curation which we have done over there. I think the numbers which we saw in the first few days of opening were, you know, very, very promising from a previous experience point of view, whatever we did the best until then. But this property has really you know, been an eye opener for the way the traffic subscribed in the first few days of opening of the property. We were very lucky to have this project in our portfolio, and currently it's the most talked about retail asset in the north of India.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mr. Monga, you know, a lot of change we can see in transformation, particularly in terms of spending ability and also upward mobility among Indian middle class and consumers is in the tier 2, tier 3 cities, and that is getting reflected in the commercial real estate space and also in the retail space. What is it that you are doing in these towns and cities where a lot of growth can be seen? And can you give us some examples very briefly?
So, Gaurav, when we talk about metro cities, you know, majorly the Indian consumer is looking up to those. But when it comes to certain cities which have a lot of business which is happening from different different aspects. For example, I give you an example of Jaipur. Jaipur has a 298 days of business every year with various activities which happens over there. There are literary fairs, there is weddings, there are, you know, so many exhibitions which are there. And there is a lot of tourist, which is international tourist, which goes there. And when you see these type of tier one and a half, I would say, where you see international flights coming in, tourists coming in, consumption patterns are higher. When you see data points from the consumption of F&B, data points of consumption of hospitality, where maybe the most expensive hotel room can be sold. I mean, these give you astonishing data-driven analysis that the type of depth which these retail markets would have, and still there is no great retail platform. So we are currently recently working on this project, which is developed by the Pacific Group of New Delhi, and they are building the largest shopping mall of Rajasthan, pretty much one of the largest in the country, where we see that, you know, the customer is looking up and waiting anxiously that, you know, when this will open. These type of developments, you know, changes the face of retail in these areas, and the subscription level of a consumer goes leveled up many fold. The consumer which has not seen any such aggregated mix of brands at one place will be blown away.
Right.
I mean, the type of change it would bring to the retail environment and the retail consumer pattern in tier one and a half, tier two cities, it is going to be eye-opener for the complete part of the country.
Absolutely.
Some relatable examples, I mean, when Elante Mall opened in Chandigarh, I think the city changed. It's not a very large super-sized development, but the subscription levels changed the way the patterns the consumer was subscribing to. The whole fashion quotient of that city changed.
Right.
So the way people went out, the way people dressed up changed. I feel that, you know, today when we go out of our homes, we want to dress up well. And these are the ecosystems where, you know, you want to be seen and want to be subscribing to the brands which they are offering to. So the change which would bring in the pattern of consumers in that particular particular state or particular city, it is going to have a lot of impact on the way people are looking up to.
Absolutely.
Food, fashion, entertainment.
Absolutely. And finally, one final question, Mr. Monga. If you were to advise or point out one big mindset shift that developers need to make to stay relevant what would that be?
So obviously, the initial thought process of a developer when it used to come, when it used to come to building retail assets, were predominantly making a build, buying land, making a building, and then taking out rent, and then probably monetize it. But now that has completely changed. The retail development game is more from a consumer experience, hospitality, you know, a place where a consumer goes again and again, different part of their lives, and remains in their lives. It remains in their family lives, and then probably when the family expands, it goes in generations. So the memories of today's generation would all be on a weekend. Memories would be in malls.
Right.
It would not be a park. It would not be
right.
A countryside situation. So, but because that is the most convenient way of spending time for everyone. So, from a developer point of view, from a development point of view, the shift is changed towards a consumer-oriented approach. The more you're able to get the consumer back and forth into your center, give them reasons to come back again, give them that happiness when they come and enjoy a certain subscription in your center, it is that turning around situation which the developer should understand when they are building a retail asset.
Absolutely.
And apart from that, programming of that retail asset, the management, the operations is the key of success. You know, you can build a good building anywhere in the country, any part of the country, but how you operate that building is the differentiator.
Absolutely. That's very well said. Thank you, Mr. Monga, for sharing your deep insights and perspectives on a range of issues, and also taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us. Thank you so much. That's it for this episode of Unusual Suspects. We'll be back again with a fresh new episode.